Mark chapter 7. Verse 31 says, "And again." I read those two words, and I just had to put a Selah right there for a minute. And again. And again. The word gospel means good news. And that's the gospel. And again. How sad would the news be? How sad would it be to find out that Adam fell? Adam sinned in the garden. Adam fell, and God redeemed Adam, and that was it. How sad would that be? How sad would it be to find out that Israel fell into bondage, and God sent Moses, and God delivered Israel out of Egypt. He delivered His people, and that was it. How sad would that be? After King David, after Elijah, after Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, that was it. That was it. How sad would it be to find out after our Lord died and arose and ascended back to His Father? After He ascended, that was it. He came down, He did the work, and He ascended back up, and then that was it. No more mercy. No more salvation. That was it. Do you know what the good news for sinners is? You know what the good news for sinners is? And again. And again. Right here. And again. And again. And again. Isn't that wonderful? And again. Verse 31, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, He came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. And He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers into his ears. And He spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, He sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." They said, "It's amazing." That's all they could say. It's amazing. It's amazing. What He has done is amazing. Turn with me over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 2 says, "And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Did you know that he's still doing that to this day? He went around doing these things, and everybody who saw these things said, "This is amazing. This is amazing. It's a miracle." Did you know he is still doing those things to this day? And again, still to this day, he's causing blind men and women to see. You know that? Still to this day. He's causing lame men and women to walk. Still to this day. He is opening the ears of men and women. He is cleansing men and women. He is still giving life to the dead. He is still doing every bit of that. That's what our text is telling us. Now go with me back to Mark 7. Mark 7 verse 31 says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf." They brought a man to the Lord who was deaf. Now let me ask you a question. If a deaf man was not told that he was deaf, would he know it? Would he know it? If at some point someone did not come up to him and explain to him, "There is something called sound, and you can't hear it because you're deaf. You have ears, but you can't hear. You have ears, but you can't hear." If someone did not tell him that, would he know it? If he never heard a sound, if that was totally normal to him, if that was his world, would he know it? Every man and woman on this earth, every man and woman on this earth came into this world spiritually deaf, and they don't know it. They do not know it. They cannot hear God. They cannot hear His Word. They cannot hear His gospel. They're deaf. They're deaf. I was born into this world deaf. Deaf. Now, can you hear my voice right now? Can you hear what I'm saying? That's not what I'm talking about. A human being can hear the voice of another human being. And he can even hear the truth of the gospel as it's preached. But the soul that's inside that man is totally deaf to those words. Totally deaf to that message until God does something to that man. And for that man. Totally deaf. Until God intervenes. He cannot hear God. He cannot hear His Word. And he cannot hear His gospel. Verse 32 says, "And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Not only could he not hear, his speech wasn't right. And it wouldn't take much at all for me to convince every soul in this room that what comes out of this mouth is not right. It's just not right. Don't turn, but over in Matthew 12, our Lord said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Whatever's in the heart, that's what's going to come out of the mouth. And right here in this chapter, right here in Mark chapter 7, our Lord told us what comes out of this heart. Look at Mark 7, verse 21. The Lord said, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts." And we could all try to deny it, but God is right. "Adulteries." Well, I've never committed adultery. We have in this heart. He's talking about what's coming up out of this heart. "Fornications." "Murders." He said, "You hate a man, that you've killed him." "Thefts." "Covetousness." "Wickedness." "Deceit." "Lasciviousness." "An evil eye." "Blasphemy." "Pride." "Foolishness." Whether we know it or not, that's us in the flesh. Whether we know it or not, that's us in the flesh. Turn with me over to Romans 3. Romans 3, look at verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous." You mean none? He said, no, not one. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." How many are in the word none? What's the number of none? Verse 12, "They are all." How many is in all? All. "Gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good." Wait a minute. You're telling me there's nobody on this earth that naturally does good? He said, no. Not one. "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." People hear that and they think that has to be talking about somebody else. That has to be. I know that there are people like that on the earth. That has to be talking about somebody else. That can't be me. That has to be talking about somebody else. Well, let me ask you this. If a deaf man was never told he was deaf, would he know it? What? I'm the deaf one? You're telling me there's something called sound that I can't hear? If he has no idea what that is. That right there, what we just read, that is me. All that wickedness, all that sin, that's you and that's me. What? I'm the one who is eaten up with sin? What? The truth must be told. If a remedy is going to be sought, if we're going to seek a remedy, the truth must be told. It must be told. Romans 10 says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call if they don't believe? And how shall they believe if they don't hear? How? Back in Mark 7, verse 32 says, "And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him." They loved this man. They loved this man. They knew that this man had a need, and they knew there was one who could heal him. And they brought him to the Lord, and they begged the Lord, "Would you touch him? Would you reach out and touch this man?" Verse 33 says, "And the Lord took him aside from the multitude." Do you know what mercy it is? Man, what mercy it is when God lays hold on a sinner and sets that sinner apart. Do you know what mercy that is? When God reaches out and grabs his own and says, "Come out from among them. You're just like them. We are all dug from the same lump." The Ephesians talk about, the book of Ephesians chapter 2 talks about us, like everybody else, running straight into hell. And he reaches out and he lays hold of his own and he says, "You come here. I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to set you apart. Come out from among them." Verse 33, "And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears." I love that. He's trying to make this man hear. Is that how you do it? By stopping up somebody's ears? This world has fed us nothing but lies. Solomon wrote a whole book. It's all vanity. It's all proven to just be vanity. It's lies upon lies upon lies. And religion has fed us nothing but lies. Lies upon lies. This world has lied to us on what will bring a true sinner happiness. It keeps reaching, "This will do it." No, that didn't do it. "This will do it." That didn't do it. Religion has lied to us on what will bring a sinner true salvation. True salvation. It's been nothing but lies. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, in mercy, in grace, in love, when he comes to his own, he says, "You don't have to listen to that anymore. You're not going to listen to it anymore. You heard it, you believed it, you followed it. No more. You are done with that." Isn't that wonderful? You are done with that. Verse 33, "He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue." Something that was in Christ went into that man. Something that was directly from the mouth of Christ himself went into that man. Verse 34 says, "And looking up to heaven, he sighed." That means he groaned with grief. That's what the word means. He sighed. When he did that, he stuck his fingers in his ears. And then he touched his tongue and he looked up to God and he sighed. He groaned with grief. Verse 34, "And he said unto him, Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." "And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." This man right here was healed because he received something from the hand of God and from the mouth of God. And because Jesus Christ sighed on his behalf, that's why this man was healed. He received his work, he received his word. And he received it all because the Lord Jesus Christ groaned with grief on his behalf. Now turn with me to Mark 14. we've looked at this many times. So many times. And I pray this never becomes common to us. I pray this never becomes common to us. Mark 14, look at verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Now this is God. I read this and think, how is this even possible? And I'll tell you how it's possible. God became a man for us. A true substitute for us. He was sore amazed. He began to be very heavy. Verse 34, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. If it's possible, could you spare me from this? Thank God it was not possible. Mark 15, verse 33 says, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he gave up the ghost. He died. He died. He groaned. He died. Now look at chapter 16, verse 2 says, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. I'm going to tell you, if God will ever open a sinner's heart, if God will ever open a sinner's heart to hear that, if he'll ever open this ear to hear that, from that moment on, if a sinner ever realizes God became what I am, and he took that straight to God Almighty, was judged for it, and put it away. If a sinner ever gets a hold of that, his speech from that moment on will be plain. It'll be plain. He won't stand up and tell men about everything he has done for Jesus. He'll stand up and tell about everything God has done for him. It'll be plain. It'll be so plain. That thief on the cross, he was railing on the Lord just like the other thief. They both were. They both were saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Cursing him, both of them. Mocking him, both of them. But all of a sudden, Jesus Christ in mercy chose one of them. They were the same. But he chose one of them. And he looked at his heart. He looked straight into that man's heart. And he said, Ephatha, be opened. That's what he said. And as soon as he opened that sinner's eyes and his ears and his heart, do you know what that sinner started to say? Wait a minute. He said to that other thief, dost not thou fear God? He wasn't saying that before. Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And this is what he said. Lord, Lord, Lord. Everybody talks about Jesus. They all talk about Jesus. Jesus this and Jesus that. And once the fear of God is struck into a sinner and he goes to his knees, he cries, Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. And he said, Lord, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? His tongue was loosed. And he spoke plain. And I'm going to tell you this little illustration. We're going to wrap this up. But I want to give you this. Charles Spurgeon gave an illustration of a man that he called the huckster. His name was Jack. And this is from one of Charles Spurgeon's messages. He said, this huckster Jack was a poor, wicked fellow who had gone about from village to village swearing, drinking, huckstering, and perhaps pilfering. All right? People didn't like him. Some thought him half-witted, but the story would show his wind to be sound enough. This man Jack heard a poor woman sing somewhere. And this was her song. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. He remembered the words, and what was better, he felt their sense. Men, you know, first hear the truth come and say, you're a sinner. And man says, don't you call me that. I'm the deacon over there. But after a while, they start to realize, maybe I am a sinner. What was better, he felt the sense. And he kept on humming those words to himself till God's good spirit engraved them on his heart. So he essayed to join himself unto the church, but the brethren looked suspiciously at him and inquired, what is your experience? He said he had no experience but this. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. The good elders very properly asked, are you converted? Have you been born again? And Jack replied, I don't know much about these things, but I do know and am sure of, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. They put him back for a while to try if he would grow in his knowledge. But he never went an inch beyond the first standard. He knew what he did know, and to that he held fast. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. Well, they must take him into the church. They could not well refuse a man with such a confession of faith. And when he was in the church, walking with his brethren, he was happier than the rest of them, at which they greatly marveled. And one said to him, Brother Jack, don't you sometimes feel doubts and fears? Doubts, he said? What do you mean? I never doubt that I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. I have daily proofs of it. And why should I doubt that Jesus Christ is my all in all? For he says he is, and I must believe him. Ah, well, said one, sometimes I enjoy good frames and feelings and feel very happy, and then I lose them and sink in spirit. Jack answered, I never get lower than I am, for I am down at the bottom. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. I cannot get lower than that, can I? But I am also at the top. For Jesus Christ is my all in all. I cannot get higher than that, can I? They tried him many ways with their blessed experience, of which you and I have cartloads, perhaps wagon loads. But he could not be drawn out of his one firm position. They tried him with their various attainments, depressions, anxieties, quibbles, and questions. But still the huckster would not budge. He had bought the truth and would not sell it. So he stuck to, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. That right there is plain speech. That's what it is. That right there is plain speech. That's an ear that God has opened. That's what it is. Back in Mark 7, we'll close. Mark 7, verse 35 says, straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. They just couldn't help themselves. They could not help themselves. They had to go tell everybody. And they were beyond measure astonished. You could not measure their astonishment. They were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. That's plain speech. He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That right there is plain speech. When God gets a hold of a sinner and performs this operation on them, not a one of them will go around saying, I made my decision. Not one of them. I gave my heart to Jesus. I got saved. I goes out the window. He saved me. That's what happened. He saved me. He grabbed me. He pulled me out. He stopped all that mess. Sent life into me. And he's amazed. And we're amazed, aren't we? We're just amazed. The mercy and the grace he has shown is amazing. That's our cry. He has done all things well. It is well with our souls. I want to sing that. Let's all stand together.